Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roleplay Balance of Power. This is week 12, episode 6. If you're keeping up on the light side, how's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Great.
Ready to carry on the cause of the New Republic. So I've been away from the internet for like 4 whole days. So like I'm sure a whole ton of shit happened. Maybe y'all can catch me up. And can you start? Something happened with Overwatch. I was away. There was like a new thing. Please save me from my own disconnectedness.
So they announced a new hero, which a lot of people have been playing. Her name is Ana. She, in the canon or in the lore, is Farrah's mother. She's a snipe healer, so she snipes medicine into her teammate.
What?
That's so cool. I wish my doctor would do that. I'll just call him up and shoot me with medicine from like several miles away.
Yeah.
Where are you? Move 3 degrees to your left.
So that's just on the PTR right now. I don't know if they've said when they're going to add that to like the live. And then they've been doing a lot of balancing and, you know, making some small changes to things that make people play a lot differently. I actually haven't been playing a ton of Overwatch because I've been doing some other stuff, but I absolutely have loved playing Ana so far. It's really cool.
That's cool. You and I have, and I know this announcement happened before, when we have a panel, a TwitchCon panel, which got announced. Are you doing any other cool stuff for TwitchCon?
I'm just going to be doing I think the only two things I have so far right now are the role play panel and then the Dire Straits one that we're doing. And then besides like meet and greets, I think there's also a charity thing that they're doing where like people are playing games at TwitchCon for charity, but I don't have the details on that one yet.
Cool. That's exciting. Sweet. So do you like the new character? She's your like main character's mom, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she is. It's pretty great. I love I actually, JP mentioned this on Drop Frames, but I like almost started crying on stream because at one point Ana is so like, weird. I'll be watching your back out there, Faria. And Farrah's like, then I have nothing to worry about. And I was just like, that was the cutest thing that's ever happened. So adorable. So
their handling of the lore is just so masterful. Like at first I was like, what the fuck's going on in this game? But as they've like released little bits and pieces and adding new characters, it's so good. I'm so impressed. Yeah. Masterful storytelling on their part.
Except for the Widowmaker short, right, Adam?
The short, it's weird because the shorts are the least interesting part of all that stuff. It's like the little bits and pieces that are really doing it.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely. Cool. That's exciting. So I expected Ko to be on the stream, but I don't know who this guy is. Who are you, stranger? What's going on?
Charles Atlas with Hunters and Arbor.
I don't know if I can follow that debacle.
Yeah. All right. So Ko has been replaced. Ko 2.0, how you doing? What have you been up to?
Been well, man. This is the look of charity. That's basically what I've been telling people. Like, hey, what happened to your face, Ko? Yeah, charity happened.
Charity.
That's about it. Yeah. So beard is gone, shaved for at least a week, if not longer. So here we are.
you're looking slick. I like it.
Appreciate it.
I'm in. So what have you been up to besides being freshly shorn?
Oh man, well, we're still kind of in that calm area on Twitch, unfortunately. If you're not playing Overwatch or one of the kind of big games, it's been pretty slow for a lot of us, so just kind of making through. We got Starbound coming out this Friday, which is awesome, and then we have No Man's Sky next month, which you're picking up a little
right.
bit. But really just going through older games, revisiting RimWorld since it just came out on Steam. Playing more Dead by Daylight, all this stuff. Just, you know, dealing with politics on Twitch. It's been fun.
I mean, like Caitlin, have you watched any of this confusing shit? Because I, as a Canadian, I'm like, what is? So is this the dark side of Paul? Do they have their own show now? And like, because I'm confused. I watched a few minutes of it, and I'm like, wow, this is terrifying. And
I didn't watch any of it. I think JP summed it up for us, right? It's just people cheering for Trump. I
mean, yeah.
No. See, a lot of people don't understand American politics. What we do each cycle is pick a movie, and then we kind of like pick sides, and we all kind of role play. So this year, we're doing Idiocracy.
Right.
Someone good. Actually described the GOP convention as like a con, and they're like, yeah, people are gonna dress up and cosplay, and then Stephen Colbert actually cosplayed. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
so that I guess great. It kind of is a con, right?
Yeah. As American, this makes me very sad. It all
it's a con, but not the kind that you're thinking.
Yeah, the awkward sigh for fascism.
No, I'm ready, dude. I'm ready to suit up for the revolution, buddy. Let's go! Let's go! Revolution!
Yeah. I that stuff, I can't, like, we've had our own share of problems in Canada, but like, I can't.
And now we have Justin Trudeau. Yes.
Yeah. Now we have a boy band for a prime minister. Yeah. So I guess that's the thing. Weird that it's on Twitch. Like, that's confusing to me. But I guess, you know, if people treat it like it's a game, we might as well throw it in the same venue. So, Zeke, I wanted to ask you, because people were telling me, I noticed this on Twitter when I got back, you played Inside? Yes?
I did, yes.
Okay, what did you think? Let's not spoil it, because I played it too. Did you play Limbo before you played Inside?
Yes, oh yes.
Okay, see, I didn't play Limbo, so maybe I'm interested in how the difference is. But what did you think of Inside?
I loved it, personally. Yeah. I liked every part of it, including the ending.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was fantastic.
I did too. I thought it was great, and I told JP this, and don't fucking like quote me on this or anything, but like a thought went through my head. Like, I've always wanted to find a game that I could possibly speed run.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't require like, you know, Twitch reflexes or, you know, stuff like that. So like one of the first things is like, you know what? I could probably speed run this game now. Like if I like worked on it like over and over again. And stuff like that. But I loved the shit out of it. I thought it was great. The atmosphere was great. People talking about, like, I love playing a game like that. And like these assholes just want to shit on it because it's, you know, weird or, you know, too artsy fartsy or whatever the fuck. And people are like, this game, you just like this game because it's up for interpretation. It's all bullshit, man. Is gameplay good? And yes, like all of that's there. It's great. It's up for interpretation. I like art like that.
I like when people level that criticism in art, like, oh, you just like it because it's unclear and requires thought or feelings.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, obviously that's discounted.
Just, you're right. I do like that.
Yeah, how dare you? Go watch a play, nerd.
Well, here's the thing. I'd much rather fucking see something like that than like some like story that was like shoehorned in. You know, it's like, oh, we got to have some sort of twist or, you know, point to make or whatever like that. It's like, no, just fucking leave it open ended. It's fine. I'm not mad at it.
Did you play Doom? You play a single player Doom?
I have not played Doom yet.
All right, so let's get a counterpoint. Caitlin, you played Doom. I played Doom first, and then I played Inside. And Doom's ending, by contrast.
Have you ever played Half-Life, Adam?
Yeah,
I have. Basically, my reaction to the end of Half-Life, whether it be 1, 2, episode 1, 2, it's always, I'm like, wait, that's it? Wait, what are you, like when he stops you at the train, at the end of the train, or if you pick the other option, you're surrounded by all the monsters. And then it just ends. You're like, yeah. What is going on here? I actually restarted the game and I was so certain it was bugged. Like, it actually did bug in this weird way. But yeah, it just ends. So yeah, the Doom ending, I was just like, wait, seriously? And I was the person that was like, dude, I was telling all the naysayers to shut up. There's a lot of story in Doom. Like, yeah, there's not that much story. I get it. But, you know, there was a good amount of story. That betrayal, who saw that coming? Oh my God. And then
I'm gonna go ahead and say everyone on Earth.
I like the end of Doom.
Did you play? Either of you guys play Shadow of Mordor? Because there's only Shadow of Mordor and Doom are the only games where at the very end I was like, "Fuck this!" Like, just so personally offended by the ending of that game.
I gotta admit though, I like the ending of Doom after a lot more after I finished it and then read the kind of conjecture that all the Doom games actually happened in that universe, and this is another chapter in that, because then it kind of all of a sudden all becomes linear and it makes a lot more sense and it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying about it normally.
Yeah, it's funny that we place so much value on the ending of things, like games especially, because we have this like bias in our brains of like the ending of the game, like our most recent experience with it is the thing we remember the most and put the most stock in. So even if the very beginning of the game is amazing, once we get to the end, like it's the Mass Effect 3 effect, right? Where we're like, yeah, the game's pretty good, but the ending was bad, so fuck this whole game. Just
that's like for something like that, nothing would ever be good enough, really. Like, you'd have to have some like super like master stroke ending to like end a series that people love, like deeply love.
Yeah.
And, so, and that's a lot of people's, I think, problem with, like, at least my biggest problem with like Stephen King. His endings are just kind of like, wah, wah.
Yeah, he's kind of a bad writer. It's sort of true.
I love his stories, like in the middle, like the beginning and middle. I'm like, yeah, and then he's like, oh, don't, oh God, oh, oh, you're doing it, oh no.
I tried to think of alternate endings that Doom could have had, but when there's three characters and you just killed one of them, like I really couldn't think of anything else that could have happened. But it didn't taint the game for me, though. Like I said, that was like one of my favorite games that I've played in a long time.
Well, and more, it set it up for more. I mean, they kind of had to continue it. They have plans for more and maybe even more Dooms. They've already hinted they're going to be remaking Doom 2 as well. So, you know, they kind of needed to, keep it all open.
Yeah, I think you can do that, but you don't necessarily, because the ending of Doom was very like staring you right in the eyes and being like, pay for an ending, but it's not ready yet, but you'll have to pay for it if you want one. You know, it was very kind of like the end. No, not really. Don't worry about it. I liked where the beginning of the game was, where it was kind of like, we don't really care about exposition. We're just going to punch and kick the shit out of everything, blast our way through the game. And then it was like, oh no, but now there's a story and there's some stuff, but it was just this thin layer of story on top of the rest of the game, which was like super fun.
Adam, I have something to tell you. The story was there all along.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Did you not read the logs?
Mm-hmm.
To be,
I was definitely trapped in the rooms you were not allowed to leave while it would explain the game to you. Yeah.
Had that happen. To be fair, though, I got to admit, like, it was really interesting at the beginning, busting the armor out of the sarcophagus. Mm. That's not really a spoiler because at the very beginning, I immediately started asking questions at that point. Like, why is it in there? What's going on? I've already been there. Like, so I don't know. I feel I probably had a different experience. I thought there was more story than I expected. I thought it was going to be a whole punching.
I think the important thing to recognize is the difference between like plot and lore. I think there's lots of lore, which I thought was cool. And those little bits and pieces of like the lineage of Doom Guy and stuff, I thought that was cool. But when the game was like, no, the door's closed behind you, and now you have to listen to this NPC talk for 45 seconds, and you're just running around hoping you can punch something or like shoot something with a rocket. That part, like, we're just trying to advance the plot.
I want to know if... So, I usually think things aren't as predictable as they are, so I'm always ready to, like, get caught, you know? So I'm always ready so I don't get caught. Right. And I actually thought 100%, sorry if this is a spoiler, I don't think it's a spoiler for anyone but myself, but I really thought you weren't going to go to hell in Doom. So when I got transported to hell, I was like, oh my God, we're actually going to hell, like all the other Dooms. But I was really excited. I was like, I didn't think this was going to happen. But that one did catch me off guard. But I mean, I guess in foresight, like I thought hell was just going to be on Mars. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they didn't want to have to change the color palette. It's all red everywhere forever, so it's fine.
Better than grays and browns, I guess.
Starting things is easy, but ending them is very difficult. So even bad games with bad endings, I'm like, okay, it's a very big challenge. Same with TV shows. Lost, looking at you. You tried. You tried, buddy.
The only thing about Lost I know is the ending.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't really get it.
That's fine. Yeah. No.
You don't need any of that show was for a different show. I seriously didn't. Like I felt like they were like, hey, do we have any unfinished shows that that sort of works. Yeah, put it in.
Yeah, I kind of like it. All the writers for every TV show that was popular at the time just got together and were like, anybody got an ending? And some guy, Battlestar Galactica, goes, yeah, here, you can have ours. We're not using it.
Supernatural is going to wrap up and it's going to be like identical and everyone's going to be like, so that's where they got it.
Yeah, it's a writing commune. It's cool. Well, thankfully, we don't have to do anything about endings because you guys are so efficient at doing these missions that they go on forever and ever, and I never have to end them. But you actually got a lot done last time. You made a new friend, and you captured another new friend, and there was going to be some interrogation. So maybe we should find out what Timo Turin knows about the planet Fallujah. So the big, I guess that's the big one, right, is that you've gained access to someone who can point you in the right direction of the Imperial Security Bureau's agent, the person who's been destabilizing the government on Fallujah and kind of let you know what they're up to. So before we get into how effective all that action was, let's roll for Destiny points. And then I think what we'll do is we can all talk as a group about what strategy you want to take with this guy, and then we'll roll, and then I'll tell you, we'll kind of have our opening montage based on what information he gives you.
Cool.
All right. So make sure you clear your destiny there and then go ahead and roll.
So should I reroll because I didn't clear Destiny?
No. Let me take a look at the pool and make sure that it's caught up properly here. Yeah, no, everything's fine. So go ahead and roll everybody. Yes.
Oh my god, what is
this? More for me. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Tara evens it out.
Tara. Our fearless leader. Okay, that's better than last week though, right?
So it is. Yeah, it's only a little ways off medium.
Wait,
the dark side.
No, I don't roll.
Okay.
Just y'all.
So four dark side points.
Yeah. Somehow I managed to roll a die with only two sides, but it has all the black ones. Cool. Okay. So we're pretty evenly balanced, which is good because you may want to use them for this roll. So you kidnapped Timo Turin, who is I guess I'm trying to find like a good word for it. He's not part of the Empire really. Like he's part of the Council of Felucia, same as the other, you know, half dozen people that are on the council, but he's kind of the Empire apologist. He's the dude that's like, no, the Empire's great. I'm going to be best buds with them. Everybody else on the council is sort of wavering between the New Republic and the Empire, but Timo is sort of fervently anti-alien. He's the Donald Trump of Felucia. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there.
Wait, he's the Emperor then?
No, he, I mean, Donald Trump wishes he was the Emperor.
All right. Oh, God. Okay. There you go.
He's going to build a wall and the Bothans are going to pay for it.
That's right. He's going to build a giant space station. Yeah. So he's very much this sort of conservative politician, and you currently have him tied up in the slums in this this safe location for now, after having jacked him from his limo, and you've got him here with your new bounty hunter friend, who I think the deal was, if she helped you capture the counselor, that you would turn him over to her after you got the information that you needed. That was the plan, right?
Didn't we agree to get
something like that
portion of the bounty?
There was a cut.
Yeah,
we did, but you failed that role, if you remember correctly.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
I remember succeeding wildly with flying colors.
Well, it's a good thing we have a record of all these roles. Let's see if we can find it here.
You don't need to look. I'm sure.
That's because the bounty hunter was like, "Sounds good, buddy."
Yeah.
Oh, what was the bounty hunter? Did we get the bounty hunter's name or not?
No. All we found out was her identity, because she took off her helmet at the end, and she's a Chiss, which are canon now, I guess. Thanks, Star Wars Rebels. Mm-hmm. So she took her helmet off and she was like, yeah, let's totally interrogate this guy, and like pulled out a knife. So she can help you with coerce. So if anybody wants to play bad cop, she can add bonus dice to that action. So we'll say that the actual interrogation took place sort of between episodes. And this would be the beginning of the episode, will be the voiceover of Counselor Turin telling you information. And then the visuals will be like a depiction of all of the stuff that he's telling you. This is sort of the part of the heist movie where it's like showing a montage of all the defenses that you're gonna have to get by. And I'll tell you more depending on how successful you are. So what tactic did you take in interrogating him? Are you going to go threatening, or are you going to go like gentle? What's your plan here?
I'm not going to be, I'm probably not going to be involved with it, other than, I mean, standing menacingly, maybe, but yeah.
Okay. Is there a sort of, I don't know, knowledge skill that would say what's the best course of action for this guy, whether it be like just, like bribing him or, you know, cutting off his fingers or, you know, whatever.
Well, I don't think there's not necessarily a particular skill that you could use, but I can tell you, I can kind of remind you what you know about him, and you can decide what kind of pressure would be the best.
Just cutting off his fingers really wastes the opportunity to take off their fingernails first. So I'm just putting that out there first.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
It just happened in The Witches. Like,
I don't want to be involved, but I'm going to tell you guys, you should take off his fingernails before you take off.
Oh, you're going to backseat torture this guy.
It's like we're three in a room and we're about to get started, and Gunner just like leans in. Hey, y'all need any fingernails taken off? Fingernails?
No.
Okay. I feel like it's the happy forest friends from South Park. It's like, no. So he'll die slower.
That's cool, Gunner. If the new Republic, If the New Republic doesn't work out, you can always open a nail salon.
Oh my God.
So,
here's Republic Transit Soldiers.
Here's what you know about Timo Turin. So Counselor Turin's been on the Council of Felucia for a while. He's very rich. He's kind of soft. I think the description we used for him before was he's kind of Marlon Brando-esque. And he's used to the finer things in life. He has lots of droid servants. He lives in the nicest estate in all of Felucia. He has his own limo. Up until very recently, he had some elite bodyguards. Now he has several corpses. He's being personally protected by the Empire. They have guards stationed outside his house, that kind of thing. He is married, but doesn't have any kids. He fervently is anti-alien, anti-republic. Believes that the rebellion are a bunch of terrorists. So he probably thinks that either you're all scum to be disregarded or is maybe a little bit scared of you.
Has he bought into Empire thinking? Like, go ahead.
So we were asking, based on the information you have, do you think that he's actually like loyal to the Empire, or the Empire is just giving him what he wants?
If given an option between like living like a beggar under the Empire or living like a rich man in the rebellion.
Right. Why don't you let me take a look, because that's an interpretation. That's a thing your character might be able to do then. Because you can draw your own conclusions, but I think if you want to see what Talra thinks of that, let's see what kind of role that might be.
Could be like perception, during the interrogation.
I'm thinking perception, because you do have a ton of personal information about him based on Zed's pull of the logs, like all of his personal data, which you got to look at. So
cool.
Why don't you make a perception roll? And this is a fairly subtle difference. So let's say three difficulty.
Three purple, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Big money, no whammies.
Boom. All right, you got a success. I would say that he, based on his public persona, he probably believes in what the Empire stands for, right? He believes in order, he believes in control, but only because it benefits him. I think that like bribery would be an option, but it's pretty far-fetched, right? Like he's going to need like real obvious, like we're ready to take over now. Here's a bunch of money. And you'd have to be pretty obsequious to get him to buy in, right? And you've already kidnapped him, so. Yeah. So it might work as like a secondary option, but it's tricky.
I feel like if he's like kind of this soft dude, like I don't think it would be that hard to intimidate him without getting like too crazy, you know, like just verbally intimidate him and not necessarily take his fingernails off.
Okay. Yeah. So coercion is the skill that's like the promise of a threat, without the execution thereof necessarily. And then there's also deception, which would be just like getting him to say something or getting him to give you information based on a lie, or charm, which is like a little hard to do now that you've like killed his guards and you would be heavily penalized, but it's certainly possible if you roll well enough.
Well, I've got a yellow and a white, or a yellow and a green for coercion if we wanted to try and go that way with it.
I've only got two green. Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. Do I need any difficulty die or anything?
Yeah. So his let me take a look at this guy. Let's see. He has a willpower of 3. And I think, let me see the skill that's used for resisting torture. You'd think I'd know by now.
I'm sure the dark side uses it all the time.
yeah, the dark side.
We're trying to get him to give us, let's see, what's the info that we need from him before we hand him over to the bounty hunter? No.
So you're trying to get information out of him about the Imperial Security Bureau and kind of like what they're doing on the planet. Because your commanding officer was like, Tarine is a step towards the actual power. He knows who's in charge, who's really in charge. You want him to like find out. Yeah, it doesn't look like he has any seals to resist coercion. So willpower of three. And you're going to be making the roll. But anybody else who has training in coercion can offer assistance. And each person that participates is going to give you an extra blue die. So your friend, the bounty hunter, will add you add a blue for you.
So okay. I only have two green in coercion, but it is one of my career skills.
That count? Yeah, you're not trained in it though. So
okay.
Yeah, so helping isn't available, I think.
So what do you need to help?
Just have a rank in coercion.
Oh, I probably don't have that.
Yeah, and you can also spend a destiny point if you want to buy an upgrade.
Totally up to you, Anne. We got two of them.
Yeah, I mean, how important is it right now that we like, because we can always try, like, if coercion doesn't work, we could try something more forceful, right?
Coercion is the most forceful social skill you can use. There's, I mean, short of coercion, like you have to shoot him or like bring in some additional form of like, go kidnap his wife and be like, we'll shoot her instead. Right? You have to escalate if this role fails.
Adam, giving us ideas.
I'm just saying.
Don't forget, Sergeant. I have a plasma torch.
Plasma torch, right. How many of his toes do we think he needs? Okay, so I'll just, you know, I'm gonna take a walk on the wild side. I'm gonna not use the light side point. I'm gonna save that. So can I've got the one.
Even though I don't have the point, like, can I help with roleplay and then get a point that way?
Yeah. I mean, if you can tell me how you're helping.
Stand in the background.
Well, I mean, I guess I got the impression that, yeah, he is really just with the Empire for money and for gain, and that's it. You know, he doesn't really care about either side. Mm-hmm. So I guess after seeing this for a while, I'm just getting really bothered by this guy. So yeah, I do like walk forwards maybe with that kind of posture. And I say, all you want is power at any cost. And, you know, like those words, they're not going to do any damage, but I give him a look at him.
Yeah, you give him a steely look. Okay. Give him a
look.
Right, a threatening look. All right, I mean, that's fair. You're there's more of you than there are of him. So, okay, all right. And then Zed, you have a plasma torch. Are you gonna bring it into play? Does it come out? You don't have to use it on him, but
no. Well, I just want to, I want to light it in front of him and then like do some, you know, fake out self repair, just like if this is his face. Mm-hmm. I'll just light it. Look at him and then go about my business.
This is like awesome. The cheesiest action movie. I love it.
I know, it's great. I'm having so much fun.
You start talking to him in a German accent or what?
Yeah. I look at him and like, if it's too hot, get out of the kitchen. Or he can't stand the heat. Damn it.
Activating torture subroutine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, and Tara, what are you doing?
I didn't catch that. What was that?
Oh, I just want to know what you're doing. Are you participating in the interrogation? Or are you?
With all that's going on already, I think I'm just kind of standing back and monitoring right now.
Yeah, it's wise keeping an eye on things.
Okay, totally. So I've got two blue then, and then you said
you have three if you want. You have three if you want the bounty hunter help. The
bounty hunter, right? Okay, and then you said his willpower is three. Does that translate into
three? Yeah, three purple.
Purple, perfect. Yeah. Okay. And here we go.
Oh yeah, like he's so coerced. He's so totally coerced.
I'm so good at coercion.
Yeah, he's entirely coerced. Okay, so you got two successes. So we open on someone that y'all haven't seen before. She's a woman in her like early 50s. She has black hair that's graying at the temples. It's pulled back into a bun. She has the look of someone who is used to dealing with kind of her lesser. She has this kind of like steely look. And she's speaking with a group of stormtroopers, and we can't hear what she says because it's just to illustrate what, that we can see her. She's wearing, she's not wearing an Imperial uniform. She's wearing like a local, like Felucian outfit. But it's cut very, in a very like Spartan fashion. She's got very kind of like squared shoulders and like a half cape. And there's a sort of military style to it, even though it's not a military uniform. And she's speaking with these stormtroopers, and over this image of her, we hear Tarine, whose voice is like a little bit like he's obviously been interrogated for some time. He sounds like a little exhausted. You've pushed him past the point of breaking, and now he's like giving up the information. And so he says, he's like, she's been in charge of Felucia as long as I've been here. She's the one that's the reason that I have everything I have. The estate, the vehicles, the stormtroopers. A lot of good they did me, you savages. And we see her turn and walk over to a massively tall, like almost inhumanly tall, think like the mountain from Game of Thrones tall, stormtrooper. He's wearing like standard stormtrooper armor, but it's much bigger than it normally would be. And he leans over and opens a door for her, like to a vehicle, and she gets in and like nods to him. And he says, her name is Jalu Primarch, and she's the Empire's prime agent here. And the vehicle goes away. The trooper gets onto a speeder bike, like a big oversized speeder, and follows out after her. And he says, you'll never get to her though. She's being protected by some kind of special trooper, and her movements are tracked by satellite. And like you can hear him like he's kind of desperately trying to get you to like just like leave her alone. But he's not lying, right? He's telling you the truth, but he's kind of trying to play it up. He goes on to describe her estate. He says he only meets her in one place. It's the building you caught him outside of, but that it's just a front. Inside, she has some kind of protective bunker, and it's full of monitoring equipment. She has a tap on every comm system in all of Felucia, and it all runs through her intelligence center and is routed back to their vehicles in orbit. Zed, you know that if you had hardline access to that room, like an ISB security room, you could probably hack into all kinds of useful information about Felucia, about the troop movements, like all the data that your commander wants. But you would have to get personal access because, as he says, it has some of the best slicers working for them, protecting the area from outside intrusion. He says to you, before you interfered, and after you're long dead, which you're certain to be if you go after Primarch, I'm going to be installed as Moff. The council's going to be dissolved, and this planet will finally see some law and order. And he's filthy. And he looks around, and we cut back into the room where y'all are. And he's like looking around, and he says, we'll finally be rid of these filthy aliens. Look at the way they live. And he like looks around, and he looks past the group of you. And he sees, he looks over to Talra, and he says, if I had my way, we'd kill every last one of you. And he kind of like spits on the ground.
And I kind of look at him and go, racist.
Yeah. Yeah. He is that, for sure.
Is he sitting in a chair?
I don't know. Yeah. He's tied to a chair? Or?
Yeah. Can I kick his chair over so he's laying on the ground?
Yeah. 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 Chair. Totally. Yeah. The chair cool. Tips over and he collapses. he says, it doesn't matter what you do to me, your rebellion is going to end bloodily, and you're going to die for what you've done. The Empire's already onto your tracks. They know what you did at the customs entrance. It's just a matter of time before they find you. I'm sure there's stormtroopers on their way here now.
So I'm going to walk up to him and look at him as I'm assuming now he's on the ground on his back with his legs kind of like this. And
he's trying to have a little bit of trouble breathing.
So I'm going to kind of lean down over him and just kind of go,
what does your empire do to traitors like yourself?
And he kind of like looks you in the eye at first and like looks away, and he tries to hide his like nervousness or his fear as disgust instead, right? Where he's just like, he looks at you and then like looks away and he's like, filthy, get away from me. And he says, I'm no traitor to the Empire. I'm a loyal citizen and I'll get what I deserve.
A loyal citizen that tells us all the vulnerabilities of their commanders.
He shakes his head and his like waddles kind of like a move back and forth sweatily. And he says, it doesn't matter what I tell you. I don't know anything of use. I have no codes. I have no secrets. Primarch is an immaculate professional. I'll see your bodies hang from the walls of this city within a day.
So I just kind of get back up and walk over to the side and kind of cross my arms and keep looking at what the other guys are doing.
Yeah, I think you walk over to where your bounty hunter friend is, and she's like playing with her knife. And she looks over at you and she's like, right, so we done then.
Kind of glance over at Gunner and Kestrel and kind of look up.
I'm actually just watching the bounty hunter.
Wait, what's going on?
Oh, I mean, if you look at me, like, I'm just looking at the bounty hunter, that's all.
Oh.
Most of the interrogation.
Yeah. While Tara was talking to the Teemo on the ground, I picked up a handful of pebbles off the ground and just throwing them one at a time, trying to make them in his mouth.
Right, he's sputtering, like, shaking his head, trying not to have pebbles thrown up his nose.
So I'm going to kind of, while leaving him on the ground, I'm going to kind of gesture my head into the next room so the guy can't hear us talk, and then just kind of make my way over there.
I want to address the sergeant and the commander away from the guy.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what everybody's doing, yep. Heading into another room.
Did we inquire as to what the special troopers are?
From the sound of it, he didn't really know that much of anything, let alone, I guess, the private guard of the Primarch.
I wonder if we are able to hack into the ISB computers, if it'll have some kind of logs on whoever these special troopers are.
Can we do that remotely, or do we have to break into it?
If you want to access the ISB, like her information or personal stuff, it's all like off network. Basically, it's like a one-way funnel. Yeah, so you wouldn't be able to. The only other point of access would be like on whatever vehicle is in orbit that's receiving the data and then piping it out to the Empire.
I would need direct access, Commander, inside of the bunker if I were to make that an asset for the rebellion.
So it sounds like we're back at square one with a new target. We have an idea of who they are. We have a very small idea about defenses. And it sounds like we need to figure out how to take them out as well.
Maybe we need backup from a military analyst. There might be some on base we could contact.
Our mission as it stood was just to identify the ISB agent. That was my understanding. Were we to eliminate them as well?
That's a really good question. But was the actual mission just to get information, or were we supposed to go further? Do we need to contact our guy again?
What I have written down is Teemo Tarine, counselor, target for interrogation. Get him to give up the ISB agent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You could, I mean, you've been a part of the Republic's military organization long enough, Tara, to know that if you call the commander back and give them the information, there's a very, very high chance that your commander is just going to be like, awesome, go get her, Tiger.
Well, like, hold on.
Fantastic job. Yeah. I can carry on.
Yeah.
I can imagine the rebellion's desire to eliminate this target. However, I think we should contact them and see if there's any aid they could provide us.
Tower just nods.
Sounds smart. Good thinking, Zed.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Gunner looks at the ground sad.
Just pats it on the head.
Good job, robot.
At that point, I guess we should probably let the bounty hunter know that we need to make a call before anything happens, and we'll probably need to go ahead and contact our guy back at Rebel headquarters.
I'm so sorry to interrupt this interrogation. I got to take this.
I have to call somebody. Just can you? I gotta go outside. One second. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Okay. Sure. She's like, she kind of like looks at her chronometer impatiently and looks at you, and it's all a little theatrical. She's like, right. Okay. Fine. I'll wait. He's not going anywhere.
Awesome. So at that point, I guess we all kind of group up around the device that we used to make the call, and we give him a call.
Yeah, as you're leaving the room, she turns to the guy, your interrogatee, on the floor, and like walks over, and you hear her say to him as you're leaving the room, she's like, just a matter of time, Tubby, and then you're coming with me. And he's like, get away from me, you filthy alien. She's like, oh, filthy am I? And you can hear them like talking as you leave the room.
Well, and, by the way, did the dude have anything on him?
What's that?
Did the guy have anything on him as far as, like, I don't know, stuff we could rob him of?
Access cards?
Yeah, I mean, you already have access to his, like, bank account information and stuff, but he does have some command cylinders that you could potentially use. Yeah, like for opening doors and accessing computer systems.
Can we drain his bank account? Serious question.
Yeah. I think we talked about this before. It's definitely a thing you can do.
Oh, so maybe we should.
Now that you have his command cylinders, for sure.
While we make the call, Zed, do you want to do some stuff to A, try to identify what those capsules are, and B, drain the funds? All the droid stuff?
You want me to droid it?
Yes. Droid it good.
I'll see what I can do, Commander.
Take his money and put it in our bank accounts.
Whoa, we're not going to launder it first?
Also, on that note about people doing other things during the call, do we want to have someone keep an eye on the bounty hunter while they're alone with the guy?
Volunteers tribute.
Okay. I guess as we go to make the call, then, I'm the last one to leave the room, and I'm on my way out, but I turn my head back around, and you can see me staring at the bounty hunter out of admiration, more of the respectful kind, you know? I'm not like, mm-hmm. her, but a lot of respect, but then I finally leave the room after I hang like that for a bit.
One okay. thing leads to another gunner. There's like elbow gunner. I think he's blushing. So cute.
All right. So so you head out to your communication equipment. Who's staying to keep an eye on the bounty hunter? Was that you, Kes?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the other three of you go out into the little makeshift like computer room that you've got set up in your friend's house, and you set up the call, and after a few seconds the little like hologram of your captain appears, he looks a little stressed, like he was in the middle of something that was difficult or like frustrating, he kind of like. Yeah, he comes on and he's like, you better have some information for me, Tara. I'm very busy.
Unfortunately, that's about all we have, Commander. We've located the Primarch, who is the lead of this area.
And at that point, I go on to explain like all the stuff. But more importantly, I kind of want to make sure that Tara is conveying that this stuff seems way too much for his team. Like when talking about the large, you know, unknown unit, we don't have this stuff. A completely locked up computer area that we don't know where it is or where to get access to it, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end, he kind of goes,
sir, to be completely honest with this, I'm not sure if you have the resources to continue at this point, but I wanted to check with you and see what you needed done.
And he kind of like sighs and he takes he's holding like a mug of space coffee and he drinks it and he looks at you and he's like, don't have the resources, eh? But, well, let me tell you a little story about some folks who didn't have the resources.
Fuck.
You see, a long time ago, there was a scrappy band of people
who... We need more support.
And so, yeah, that's a guy, you cut him off, and he's like, long story short, Death Star. You know how it goes.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to be like, a long time ago in a galaxy far, yeah, far away.
Well, he was. He was about to be like, look, there was a brave princess, and she wanted to blow up a Death Star. But he's like, you've... Babron, you've been with us long enough to know this is just how it is. We may be called the New Republic now, but we still don't have everything that we need. So what you've got, that's what there is. You're a resourceful Bothan, and you can you can pull this one off. Besides, Primarch is much too important a task to let get off planet. If she finds out that Taryn's been captured, she's gonna make good on her escape, and we can't have that happen. If you can capture her, the access we'll have not only to Felucia, but to the entire orbital network. Well, it's a big deal, and I need you to handle this. I can send you supplies or resources, but they're gonna take days to get there.
The people who trained me, they're too busy for us now.
He sighs. He's like, you don't have to be difficult about it, Gunner. It's just the reality of these things. Besides, what could I possibly give you that would make this any easier?
A small army.
He laughs. He's like, yeah, well, my small army is already cleaning up messes in the rest of the galaxy.
The one that has experience infiltrating a hidden bunker.
And he stops, and the little hologram turns to look at you, and he's like, you're our infiltration expert, Gunner. I don't have anyone better than you, at least not available.
Hey-o.
Did he say that we're to take out the Jailu Primarch?
Yeah, he wants you to capture.
Okay, yeah. Capture, not kill.
Oh, capture?
Yeah.
Before she can stop the plan.
Before she can escape, Yeah, because if you kill her, then all the stuff that she knows will go with her. But yeah, she's a big deal. She's a big deal military prisoner.
Did we get any locational information from the other guy?
Yeah. You know where her bunker is, right? Like it's the place that he was taking those meetings. Okay. There's an underground. The storefront is just that. It's a front, and then there's like a bunker underground where she's got a bunch of like lesser agents working for her.
Cool. Okay.
I guess after after the guy says that to me, that I'm the best they have, I kind of like look to the side, and then I storm out of the room, and I walk up to the counselor, and I don't yell in his face, but I demand him to tell me if there's any other entrances to the bunker.
Okay. All right. So Cass, you and the bounty hunter are surprised, I guess, by Gunner like storming into the room and going right to the
Yeah, deal. I don't acknowledge them.
I think he's been like sat up at this point, and the bounty hunter is starting to like manacle him with her own gear to like get him ready to go. And then you bust in. And he's sort of startled and tries to like, get away from you, but there's nowhere to go because he's tied to a chair. And he's like, I told you everything I know. I'm honestly, and you can see this is painful for him to say. He's like, I'm honestly just not that important yet. They promised me I'd become a moth, and then I would have access and troops and ships and power. But
were you inside the bunker?
He kind of looks down and he's like, what, once or twice?
Another entrance, where?
The room that I was in contained computer banks, lesser agents, maybe a half dozen, all working, listening to transmissions from across the planet. There was another entrance into that room, but I never saw where it went. That's where Jailu came from. I can only assume it's where her quarters are. It wouldn't make much sense to only have one entrance, so there might be another, but I don't know where it is, I swear.
Okay, I walk back to the other room.
Okay. All right. So, Tara, you and Zed are still talking to the captain. I think when Gunner walks out, he says to you, as though Zed isn't there. He says, he's like, "Look, Commander, I know that these things are difficult and that we're all spread thin, and that four operatives doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm giving you this mission because I believe in you. We believe in you, the High Command. I mean, this is an important mission, and we need you to do what you can to pull it off. It would be best if you could capture her alive, but if not, well, a win's a win." And he kind of looks around, and you can really see the like sort of tiredness on his face. And someone kind of like off camera from him, is like, sir, we really need you to look at this terrorist situation. And he turns and looks off screen. And he's like, fine. Turns back to you. And he's like, handle this, please.
Understood, Commander.
I mean, he kind of gives you a salute. He takes the time, despite his lack of energy, gives you the salute, and then turns and walks off. And the hologram flickers and disappears.
So Tower definitely lets out a long sigh and kind of reaches down and turns off the equipment. Kind of looks over at Zed, who is standing next to him. Is Gunner back at this point?
Yeah.
This is when Gunner walks in, I think.
Okay. So kind of.
This is what we have to work with. This is what we have to do. Let's get started.
And I start moving back into the room with the bounty hunter and everything.
As we walk back, I say, just like on our walk back, we need to slice the innards of the bunker from the outside and get more information. But like he warned us, there's going to be people ready for us.
Tower nods. So at this point,
hold on. You said that it would be like next to impossible to slice into the bunker from outside.
Remotely, like accessing the terrorist comms network and then trying to like hack in that way would be nearly impossible because it's an isolated system.
Right.
But theoretically, like the system has like a generator and it has like it has a comms relay, like a satellite dish or something. So it's not it's not impossible that there might be some piece of equipment on the outside that you might be able to get access to.
The people that are working for them, the slicers that are working for them on the outside, you know, he might have information on where they are, and we could use them to our advantage. They're getting in, then maybe we could get in through them.
Excuse me.
You're talking about like actual physical, like computer people.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we showed up on their residence and borrowed their computer. I mean, not like that. It's all very tongue in cheek right now.
Yeah, but okay. But we have to find them, find out who they are, and then, you know, coerce them or, you know, kill them and, you know, use their equipment. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not a hacker. In fact, I'm not even very good at computers.
We could attempt to watch when people leave this facility, since we know where it is, try to capture one of them and steal their credentials to get in. Like physically.
Yeah. Like a key card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I mean, those command cylinders, the ISB agents, depending on their rank, are given those gain access to facilities and
computers. We don't even know what we have yet. Right. We haven't looked at it. We should probably do that before anything, because for all it's going to be like, hey, this one's a key to the bunker. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely doesn't have that kind of access. You can think of like the council as the you can think of them as the regional government, right? They run this planet. The Imperial Security Bureau is kind of like the CIA, right? And they're showing up and they're picking somebody who's loyal to them to install as a dictator on the planet when they dissolve the council. But for right now, he's still just the kind of regional dictator. And you know, think about South America in the like 60s to 90s, right? Like they're trying to destabilize the area and replace them with more friendly government. And so the trick here is not giving him that much power until they're sure that the planet is like taken care of.
I'm guessing there's probably like an employee list somewhere that we could hack into or that we might already have because we had all the meetings. So, I mean, we got into that area before, right? Where we got his information.
Yeah, that's all his personal stuff.
How much was the Timo Tureen worth to the bounty hunter? Did we find that out?
I can't remember if she ever said.
She showed us her the bounty thing.
I thought it was 40,000 credits.
As proof, whatever.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Oh, so it was a lot. Okay.
It was a fair amount, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. That makes sense.
Well, I was just trying to like see if we
could. It was 12,000.
12,000. Yeah. Okay. Because I was trying to see if we could.
Yeah, my note here says 12,000 bounty on Tureen on account of him being a shit. So. But there you go.
No, I was going to see if the bounty hunter, if she like, we could be bribed or persuaded with money to help us, but We don't have that kind of money.
We I mean, you can always that dude's bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a bounty hunter. You may be onto something,
Z. Yep. Yeah, yeah. He certainly has money.
So I think next thing to do before we even make plans with what we're going to do with the guy is figure out what we know in the command cylinders and see if we can drain the account to see what resources we have. Cool. That's good with you guys, which I think is going to be mostly all Zed.
Yeah.
Sure. So Zed, you know, just at a glance, like Imperial Code cylinders are, so the Empire has this thing, this sort of primitive to us, maybe seeming thing where to verify their identity, that kind of thing, they have like a physical device that they plug into a computer. So they'll like type in their password, plug in their code cylinder, get access to whatever they need to do the thing, unplug the code cylinder, and then leave. They have a physical key basically they use for the computers. So these are his Imperial Code cylinders. He's probably the only council that has them. It'll give him access to requisition, Imperial gear, that kind of stuff. Basically just prove that he is who he says he is. Now that you have it and access to his computer systems, you've sliced his password, you can pretend to be him efficiently enough to effectively like get access to anything he has access to until the Empire knows that he's been taken, in which case they'll clear the cylinders and she'll start getting ready to either deal with you or fuck off.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, in this case, yeah, moving his money around, that kind of thing. Certainly possible.
Cool.
So what do you want to do?
Commander.
What do you guys think?
Well, I could get started on draining his bank account, but I need a place to put the money.
Do we actually need to worry about like money laundering, or can we just like put the money in our account?
It's a complicated time. I mean, yeah, like you're living in a galaxy in which the legitimate government, the kind of people that go after you for this, it's confusing as to who, what's legal and what's not. Yeah, freebooting is a pretty common occurrence right now. So this one corrupt counselor losing all his money, it eventually will come around where someone will maybe court-martial you for this, but, you know, because you're technically stealing. But right now, whether you care about that or not is kind of up to you.
But the rebels wouldn't persecute us for that, right?
I mean, you're soldiers in the New Republic, and right. Technically, like, stealing from the enemy, stealing from, like, the local
economy. War is a war, man.
I mean, yeah, sure. This is a slippery slope, right? The New Republic is trying to establish a better system, right? Right. And they're like, yeah, our soldiers don't really, like, loot so much. But, yeah.
Do we know how much money he has?
Yeah. Good question.
Are you talking like liquid assets, like bank account dollar amount? Or are you talking like, because a lot of his stuff is tied up in local economy. He owns a lot of stuff in Felucia, like factories and processing plants and scavenging concerns, that okay. kind of stuff. You could probably liquidate like somewhere in the range of 50,000 credits, like right this instant by just draining the account.
Can we negotiate with him to get him to buy out his own bounty and pay us extra? And then because we don't want to let him go, right? He could like notify somebody. But I'm trying to think if we could like somehow use his own money to get the bounty hunter on our side, right? And then he can pay us off and like we won't kill him. Or I don't know what the bounty hunter's plan was, like what she was planning to do with him. Like I don't know if she was just going to go take him somewhere or.
And you can ask her.
I think she mentioned earlier that, well, yeah, let's ask her to make sure.
Is there a weapons store nearby?
Maybe. If you spend a destiny point, there could be somewhere that you could buy equipment from.
I wonder. I think we should ask the bounty hunter where she's planning to go with this, I guess.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's grab a break here, and then we'll have a short conversation with the bounty hunter, and then you can do any requisitioning of gear you need. You can buy some stuff, sort that out, and then we can make a plan for taking on the ISB agent. So, cool. Okay. All right. So stick around. We got more balance of power coming up right after the break.